It's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Dr. Carolyn Dean, and we carry her book, The Miracle of Magnesium, which we're going to discuss briefly, and then we carry her book, Death by Modern Medicine, and, you know, the idea that we're dying because of the what we're being done to us by modern medicine is really, well, I know when I practiced medicine, I would have been very insulted by that concept because I always tried to do my best, and I think the average doctor tries to do their best. The trouble is the average doctor doesn't have the time to read all of the scientific studies, and certainly many times his organizations, whether it be the American Academy of Pediatrics, which is part of the real problem we face today, in insisting that we give our children these mercury-laden vaccinations and giving pregnant women the mercury-laden vaccinations that are destroying the minds of their children. Or whether it be the AMA or the American Dental Association, many of these organizations at the very top have been taken over people who really do have an agenda, who have put no value at all on human life. And, of course, many people will say so much of what goes on has to do with profit, and I'm sure that does play a part in it. But I think that there are other agendas as well, and we can be we will talk about some of the things that Dr. Dean has written about her book, Death by Modern Medicine, which we carry, and, of course, The Miracle of Magnesium. Dr. Dean, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Great to be back with you.
Well, we're going to be talking about this idea of death by modern medicine, and certainly most people believe when they see the ads on television how wonderful the statin drugs are. Oh, my goodness, we want to walk down that blue spiral staircase, and at each step our cholesterol level goes down, and we feel so much healthier because our cholesterol is going down. But is that really true? I know when I would practice medicine, I honestly believed that, of course, it was you had to get rid of that cholesterol, you had to stop eating butter and all of these things, the fat and milks, and so we had to have margarine. Oh, margarine was so much healthier than butter. But what's the relationship between cholesterol and health in actuality? Not what the drug company is saying, not what the doctors have been bought and purchased say. What is the truth?
Well, actually, there was a study that was done on cholesterol. I think it was in the 20s. A group of Russian scientists were looking at cholesterol. They fed laboratory-grade, rancid cholesterol to a group of rabbits and found that their arteries got plugged up. Now, that's going to happen because it's a rancid product, but it had nothing to do with the real cholesterol that we make in our bodies and we require for our hormones and to coat every cell in the body with its lipid or fatty layer.
And, of course, if you lower the cholesterol artificially, you destroy the homeostasis of the body. In other words, the body creates cholesterol, the cholesterol that you need for health.
Exactly.
Lower it artificially, and what happens to the health?
Yes, so what we have is brain effects because a very high percentage of the brain needs fat to coat the nerve cells.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Carolyn Dean. We'll be talking about her book, Death by Modern Medicine, What You Really Need to Know to Protect Yourself. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess, you know, as many die with the normal cholesterol as with elevated cholesterol.
Yes, that's right. I guess it's part of the way conventional medicine works. It tries to find one thing, one symptom, one thing wrong to create a diagnosis and then find the one drug that will treat it. So when these Russian scientists said, oh, cholesterol is what's clogging the arteries, then it didn't take long before all of conventional medicine jumped on the bandwagon and said, well, then that's the cause of heart disease, so that's what we have to attack. And as you well know, and I'm sure your listeners know by now, that when you look at the labels of these cholesterol drugs, in fact, they never say that this will extend your life or extend your health. It may bash your cholesterol down a few points, but it doesn't translate into you living longer, which is what we all expect when we take a drug and when our doctor says, you have to take this drug.
And, of course, the whole idea is that you're being told, well, if you don't...
It's one day longer.
But how many of the patients do you think actually out there in the listening audience have ever read the scientific studies, these massive studies that have been done?
Well, the doctors haven't even read them, Dr. Stan. And when you look at studies, one of these I put in the Death by Modern Medicine book, only 6% of drug advertising that is focused on doctors or on the public, only 6% is truthful. The rest of it is just, you know, a bunch of lofty thoughts about how this or that drug is going to make you feel better. And if you look on TV any hour of the day, most of the ads now are drug ads. So everybody's being brainwashed to think that the next medication you take is going to be a lifesaver.
And, of course, then they say, but you ask your doctor, is this good for you? Is Lipitor good for you? Is this drug that good drug? And where does the doctor get his information? He gets it from the detail people set up by the drug company who've been many times trained actually how to lie about the effectiveness. We'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Dean. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we were simply talking about the drug ads. And if you watch television, you'll see these drug ads for Crestor or for Lipitor, and you've got a fellow there, and he's out rowing this little canoe-like apparatus of one man, and he's a cardiac specialist, and he's saying how great everything is if you go ahead and you take your Lipitor. But the trouble is that if you look at the studies on Lipitor or any of the other statin drugs, and you compare the placebo group with the group that took, you know, these drugs, yes, you may find maybe 1 or 2% improvement, you know, but it wasn't because you got the cholesterol down. It was because these drugs were anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. And we know that certain anti-inflammatory drugs stop the inflammation in the arteries. So could you sort of pick up on the idea, what do the studies actually show on these? And there have been lots of large studies that have been done on the statin drugs, on their safety and their effectiveness and their complications. And they never tell you the complications when you kind of take the drug.
Right, you really have to read the study in its entirety, because they do cover up the fact that the statins cause the breakdown of muscle tissue, something called rhabdomyolysis, which is inflammation of the muscles, and they cause a lowering of coenzyme Q10, which is absolutely vital to our energy supply, to the way the mitochondria work. They cause something called global amnesia, where you just totally lose every thought from your mind and don't even know who you are or where you are.
And that's because, of course, you're getting the cholesterol down so low, and the brain and the synapses and the myelin sheath that lines the nerves in the brain is all made up of cholesterol. So what you're doing is depleting the cholesterol you need for your brain to function.
Yes. Yes, and this anti-inflammatory aspect that you just mentioned, Dr. Stan, I've read a recent report that the drug companies now are trying to tell people that when they get a cold or a flu or some other inflammation, that they could take some statin medication and that could help their inflammation. And there's nothing more absurd in the world. What we know as doctors, natural medicine doctors, is that if you have a cold or a flu, it means the body is up to the eyeballs with toxins, that you're run down, you've been eating improperly, drinking, smoking, whatever, and you need to just quit everything, go on a modified fast, and take care of yourself. The last thing you need is to take toxic drugs, because what the body's expressing its toxicity by getting sick in the first place.
And I think so often these drug ads on television, how do they complete them? Why, ask your doctor about whether this drug or that drug or whatever it would be is good for you. Ask your doctor if our drug is good for you, knowing full well that most of what the doctor knows is what he has gotten at meetings that have been financed by the drug companies, out of journals that are financed by the drug companies, and from the detailed people, these attractive people with the nice smiles and the girls with the short skirts who come around to tell them about, you know, these wonderful drugs, and they've been schooled by the drug companies and exactly what to tell the doctor about how this drug is the greatest thing that there's ever been. And as it was with Vioxx, for instance, which, of course, was taken off the market when it became obvious that somewhere between 80 and 160,000 Americans had suffered either a stroke or a heart attack because of the Vioxx. In that instance, and it's being brought out now at the trials against Merck and Company, it was pointed out that in many instances, why the detailed people were told, if the doctor asks you anything about the cardiac complications, you tell them, well, we really think you ought to write to the company, and they'll tell you if there's any danger from the heart disease, but, you know, then they were told a lie and said there wasn't any, but you could always write to the company, and then the company would say, well, you write to the FDA, knowing full well that they hadn't told the FDA about all the complications. Uh-huh. And that may cost Merck Company billions of dollars, and it should. Because they killed an awful lot of people with unsafe drugs with the full help and cooperation of the people within the FDA.
I know. It's quite amazing that the drug companies are allowed to operate as if they were just selling a doorknob, I usually say, because they seem to not understand that the drugs that are being given, all of them have some level of toxicity. And the toxicity goes up the more drugs a person is taking. Conventional doctors like to say, oh, I wouldn't do anything that wasn't scientifically proven and it's all been validated. But where on earth is there a study that shows what will happen if you're taking two drugs together, three, four, five, or six? It is absolutely not scientific to give someone six different medications. Because we have no idea of the individual interaction. And unfortunately, the sicker our society seems to be getting, the more side effects people have. Doctors are not trained to look for the side effects in drugs. What will happen, and this is another thing that came out in my Death by Modern Medicine book, doctors, when a patient comes back and says, I have this and that after you gave me this drug, they'll more often say, oh, your disease is getting worse, you need more medication. And either up the medication or switch it or add another drug instead of saying, oh my gosh, maybe you have a drug side effect. They almost, I don't know if it's that they don't want to be caught giving a drug that's causing a side effect, but they will deny it and deny it and deny it.
Well, of course, many times they don't even know that these are standard complications with the statin drugs. For instance, people on statin drugs, many of them will get aches and pains, mm-hmm. a lot of muscle aches and pains. I'm sure you've heard that complaint, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. Of course, that's the rhabdomyolysis we mentioned earlier. And what happened? You go to your doctor, say you have aches and pains, oh, you're getting older, here, take this Vioxx. So people who were taking cholesterol drugs, they would get muscle pains, take Vioxx, their heart is already vulnerable from the statin drugs because they're coenzyme Q10, which makes their heart function, makes their heart pump and gives the energy to the heart. Their heart would give out, which, as you already mentioned, led to the 80 to 160,000 heart attacks caused by Vioxx. So you've got these two drugs working together to cause severe side effects. And in the midst of it all, these people, the high cholesterol, so-called high cholesterol people, people with heart problems have magnesium deficiency.
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the miracle of magnesium? Because I think your book on the miracle of magnesium is really important. And I think that most people do not understand that almost everybody in the United States today is low on magnesium, because certainly we're not getting it from our plants. You get them from green leafy plants. You used to get them on a regular basis, but of course it's been depleted from the soil, and it has not been replaced. They don't add magnesium. They use, of course, the things that will make the crops look good and nice and green, but there's no magnesium in it, and you have to have magnesium.
Yes, magnesium is so vital. It's necessary in over 350 different enzyme systems in the body, which means thousands and thousands of metabolic interactions. It's a cofactor for the Krebs cycle, for all the energy cycles.
For our listeners, the Krebs cycle is how you metabolize or you utilize sugar. So you have to have the magnesium to make this cycle work and to metabolize sugar properly.
Exactly, and to make our nerves function, to make muscles move. Magnesium actually makes the muscles relax, whereas calcium tightens them up. So you need those two minerals in proper balance. And what we've done in our society, to the detriment of many, many women, is tell them that to save their bones, they need lots and lots of calcium. But we don't tell them about the other 20-odd nutrients that are necessary to make bones. So we're going to have more and more kidney stones in women, more and more gallstones, and more heart problems, because calcium is going to build up in blood vessels if there's not enough magnesium to help dissolve it. So we've got a situation where, exactly as you said, it's not in our plants. It should be in green leafy vegetables, whole grains, nuts and seeds. And even if people ate those, they probably wouldn't be getting enough. If they eat organic, it's possible they will get more magnesium. And then what happens, I put together a list of the different symptoms or situations people could find themselves in if they had a magnesium deficiency. I came up with 100, and that includes people who take more than 7 drinks of alcohol per week. They lose magnesium. If you're angry, you're magnesium deficient. If you have angina, apathy, arrhythmia of the heart, asthma, anxiety, and that's only the A's. There are so many situations where magnesium is deficient, and if we had a good enough supply, then we wouldn't have symptoms like chronic fatigue, poor concentration, even depression.
Now, I think one of the significant things you mentioned is the cardiac, or the contractions of the heart. And of course, people will tend to get cardiac arrhythmias. And it is because the heart is hyper-irritable, and it's firing off. And when it fires off, you begin to get lose extra beats. You begin to lose beats. And then, of course, you get this real unusual pattern of heart. You miss every third or fourth beat, and so you're going to go to the doctor, and he's going to give you drugs, of course, to suppress your heart, and that may work, but it also suppresses your entire metabolism and many other functions. And whereas if you take magnesium, it decreases the irritability of the heart. Isn't that how it works?
Exactly. It helps relax the heart and prevents calcium from building up in the heart muscles and causing this extended contraction. And it's even worse than being put on drugs.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is Dr. Carolyn Dean. We're talking about her book, The Miracle of Magnesium, and really how important magnesium is. And I know in all the years I practice medicine, you know, the only time we ever used magnesium, to my knowledge, at least in my practice, was milk of magnesium we used for constipation. And then, of course, when I was an intern many, many years ago, that was back in the 1950s, why, if a woman was pregnant and went into what we called eclampsia. Mm-hmm. At the end of the period of pregnancy, why sometimes she'd develop a very high blood pressure, she began to develop convulsions, and of course this could kill her and the child. So you give her intravenous magnesium sulfate, and that quieted everything down. The blood pressure came down, and they stopped convulsing. But that was about the only place that I ever saw magnesium used. And I never, of course, asked, well, why does it work in pregnancy? And if it works so well in pregnancy, what does it do to blood pressure ordinarily? What does it do to the other body functions? So you pick up the story there, Dr. Dean.
Yes, it's a big question that I've had for any doctor I talk to. Why do you give magnesium for the eclampsia and find that it works 100%, then why don't you give it for any of your patients who have seizure disorders or high blood pressure or the fluid retention, edema-type problems that go along with heart disease, and they just say, oh, well, you know, we have this list of drugs, and one internist I write about in The Miracle of Magnesium, he said, well, when I go through the other five drugs, prescription drugs for high blood pressure, and when they don't work, I add magnesium, and actually it always works. You just want to strangle them, because why don't they use it in the first place? And basically it's because, as you've said, Dr. Stan, they listen to the drug detail men, and they think that for serious problems you need serious drugs, and they don't remember the biochemistry where we learn that magnesium, the B vitamins, and selenium, all these vitamins and minerals are necessary for the function of the body. And if the body doesn't seem to be functioning quite right, a smart person would say, well, maybe the cofactors, maybe the vitamins and minerals aren't working properly. But, you know, this is where we need to start instead of looking at a symptom and trying to match it up with a drug. So we get to the point with magnesium. I was mentioning before the break that some people with arrhythmias, I have a client, I do telephone consultations, and a new client, she had a heart ablation done for her rapid and arrhythmic heartbeats, where they go in and they destroy the pacemaker node of your heart so that it'll stop beating rapidly. And that's their answer to what is obvious to me a magnesium deficiency from this woman who has all kinds of other symptoms that have caused her to have magnesium deficiency, and where magnesium is going to be very, very helpful to her.
And, of course, the easiest thing would have been to give her the magnesium and see if it would stop the hyper-irritability of the AV node, and that would be the thing. And if that didn't work, you could try some of the other things. But why not do the simplest thing first? And the thing is, it is not the routine, and we're told what the routine will be by these people at the university many times, financed by the drug companies. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. Carolyn Dean, and if you have any questions to ask her, the telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And we're talking about her book at this point, The Miracle of Magnesium, and how much magnesium should people ordinarily take and in what form?
Yes, the requirements are about 600 milligrams a day. The RDA says 300 to 400 milligrams, and that's not enough. What we know is that 100 years ago in our diet, we were getting at least 500 milligrams. Now in our diet, we may be getting 150 milligrams. That's why we say most of the population is likely magnesium deficient. The type I recommend is a magnesium citrate, and in the powder form is probably the best absorbed. It's the least expensive and better absorbed, much better absorbed than magnesium oxide, which is only 4% absorbed, and it acts more like a laxative. And actually, as an aside, Dr. Stan, most of the magnesium research that shows the great benefits of magnesium is done with magnesium oxide, and even though 4% of it is absorbed, they still get good results on their studies. So if people would only take a better form, they would have much better results. the other types of magnesium, there's loose bowel movements already, then I move to a magnesium oxide, magnesium oil form. The magnesium oil can be spread on the skin, all over the skin, and it's absorbed readily, and it doesn't pass through the gastrointestinal tract. And actually, I don't know if I've mentioned before, Dr. Stan, but Dr. Norm Shanley did studies where he found that by using magnesium oil, you actually increase production of your DHEA. It goes to the fatty tissues, the fatty layers of the body, and promotes the production of DHEA.
And I think for our listeners, you better tell them what DHEA is, because I remember sometimes we talk a different language.
Yeah.
What is DHEA and why is that so important?
Well, it is a precursor hormone to many of the hormones in the body. It's produced in the adrenal glands usually and in other sites in the body as well. So it's sometimes called an adrenal hormone. But it has the function of being able to be broken down into many different hormones. So if someone is deficient in testosterone or estrogen or progesterone, sometimes they'll be given a prescription for DHEA. And we don't know exactly the long-term effects of using prescribed DHEA, although it is over-the-counter, I should mention. We don't know the long-term effects, but when I realized that by using magnesium oil you could promote the production of this anti-aging hormone, I thought that would be the best way to extend and enhance your life.
So basically DHEA is a precursor to many of the... Is that both male and female sex hormones, or just female?
Both male and female.
Both testosterone and estrogen, which are really, they determine it's very important in the preservation of good health.
Mm-hmm. It's, as I said, it's produced in the adrenal glands. And a lot of people have massive stress, which, you know, most of the patients that you've seen, most of my clients have so much stress that it diminishes the level of DHEA in the body. There are many hormones produced in the adrenal glands, but the most abundant is the DHEA. So when it goes into the bloodstream, it goes into the cells and it's converted into male hormones and female hormones, and even to the brain. It's small amounts of DHEA are made in the brain and are used by the brain.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Carolyn Dean. And if you have any questions or comments, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Let me suggest that you begin to evaluate what's going on, and you begin to realize that you are responsible for your health. And we carry a number of books on these subjects. We think they're so vitally important. And we even have a health catalog that lists the books we carry, including Dr. Dean's book, Death by Modern Medicine and the Miracle of Magnesium, and we'll be carrying her other books as soon as I have a chance to read them, and we'll put those in the list as well. Well, this is Dr. Stan Becker, and our guest is Dr. Carolyn Dean, and we're simply talking about many of the problems we face today, and there's so many things that we do face. Now, one of the things is high blood pressure. What effect does the magnesium have on elevated blood pressure?
The way it works on the muscles, even the tiny, tiny muscles that support the blood vessels are affected by magnesium. If there's not enough magnesium, and conversely, there would be too much calcium, the calcium tightens up the blood vessels, and that tightness causes more pressure that is required to push the blood through. Magnesium is also required for the elastin that keeps the blood vessels flexible. It also produces nitric oxide that is important for relaxing blood vessels. And in the heart, as we've already mentioned, it keeps the heart muscles relaxed so that it takes the pressure off the blood vessels and therefore reduces blood pressure. It also acts as relaxant to the kidneys. If the kidneys are too tense, they start producing certain chemicals that add to the tension throughout the blood vessels of the body to try to conserve fluid. So it may have, you know, dozens and dozens of effects that mean that the blood pressure stays in balance.
Now, of course, are there studies that show that many times it can actually help high blood pressure?
There are studies, but here we've run into the problem where at this stage in our drug-addled lives, most of the studies that are being done now, medical studies, are being done by drug companies. And they just study their drugs. So there really aren't enough studies are being done to show the effects of magnesium on the blood pressure. There are small studies, and there are many anecdotal studies, but this is the unfortunate thing about doing research on nutrients.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Mike, are you there? Mike, are you there? Is this Glenn?
Yes, it's Glenn.
Oh, well, Glenn, are you there? Go ahead.
Okay. My short wave is cutting out, so I didn't hear all your program. But can you tell me what the maximum is on magnesium? And when you purchase magnesium, it says elemental magnesium. What does that mean?
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Carolyn Dean. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have Dr. Dean with us, and we have Glenn calling in from Ohio. And Glenn was asking, first of all, how many times it'll say elemental magnesium. What does that mean?
Elemental means the actual milligrams of magnesium. Magnesium just does not come by itself. It's either attached to an oxide, is magnesium oxide, citrate, magnesium citrate. So when it comes to magnesium oxide, for example, only 50% of the actual milligrams of the magnesium oxide are elemental magnesium. So when you're looking for a supplement, you want the elemental magnesium amount. And as I mentioned before, 300 milligrams twice a day is a good amount to take. In terms of a maximum on magnesium, if you do a citrate and you take it all at once, it can actually have a bit of a laxative effect. So you break up your magnesium doses, you know, two or three different times a day. And the maximum depends on your bowel tolerance. If it's something that has to be individualized, if you looked at my book, I try to paint the picture where you start with taking one a day and just watch your symptoms, see if you feel more energy. You watch to see if you get a little loose stool, and if you don't, then you add another magnesium. And what happens with people who have severe magnesium deficiency, they may be able to take 600, 900, even 1,000 milligrams a day for many, many months, and they're building up their stores, and then all of a sudden they start feeling a little bit of loose bowel movements, and that means you cut back.
All right, fine. Does that answer your question, Glenn?
Well, can I just say a product that I bought here says elemental, but you said it should quote how much elemental it is. I don't see that.
No, that's
oh, but if well, what are the milligrams on the label?
It's 615 milligrams.
And it just says elemental. Does it say magnesium oxide or citrate?
Oh, it says magnesium citrate.
Okay, so that's magnesium citrate. So that ends, it's a little less than half. So the elemental amount in magnesium citrate of 600 would be 300.
Okay, does that answer your question?
Is that how you determine it, by taking it in half?
Well, ordinarily, they're about equal on the oxide and the calcium.
Yes.
And the magnesium in this instance.
Right.
Magnesium citrate is the best?
It is. It seems to be the best, the cheapest, the easiest to absorb. But it, as I mentioned earlier, you might not have heard it. If someone starts out with having IBS or some sort of bowel diarrhea problems, then they should use a magnesium taurate or a magnesium glycinate or spray magnesium oil on so they avoid the laxative effect altogether.
Okay, if it doesn't say elemental, should we avoid that kind?
No, it's fine. They just, it may be in the tiny, tiny print, or you could phone up the company and ask them.
Okay, I wouldn't worry about it. It sounds like it's about 300 milligrams of magnesium there. Thanks very much, Glenn. And let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. Did you have anything else you wanted to say, Carolyn, before we go on?
I was just going to say magnesium is one of the safest things on the planet to take. So people don't have to be worried about the side effects other than a little bit of loose bowel movements, which means they just cut back.
All right, fine. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. I just wanted to ask what a person might do if they have very low cholesterol levels and possibly a weak liver function.
Well, that you have to support your liver. Things like milk thistle are very important. And in my experience, someone who's a strict vegetarian would have to make sure they're eating more protein to get their liver tissue built up. The liver is very, I shouldn't say easy, but the liver wants to regenerate if you give it the right building blocks. So by going on a very clean diet and increasing the B vitamins and, as I said, the milk thistle and essential fatty acids, you can build your liver up because the liver is where the cholesterol is produced. So if the liver is malfunctioning, it's not going to produce enough cholesterol.
And, of course, the amazing thing is, Mike, that ordinarily the body wants to produce cholesterol. Well, cholesterol is necessary for sex hormones. If you wanted, of course, to lower our population, what you'd want to do would be to get the cholesterol level down. Cholesterol is necessary for the membrane of the sperm. And if you want, of course, if you get a very low cholesterol, well, the sperm don't work very well. This is a wonderful way to have population control. And everybody's walking down those blue stairs, just like they're told, and they're taking their statin drugs, I think some like 12 million people a year, and they're becoming less fertile, and of course their hormone levels are dropping. This is not happening by accident. It's one of the greatest scams of all time. Anything else, Mike?
Well, there was a word Carolyn was using in connection with milk. You're saying milk?
Milk the thistle. It's a standard product for strengthening the liver and for cleansing the liver. Milk thistle.
I never heard of that. Where do you find it?
In health food stores, everybody in the health food store would know where to direct you to this product. They've used it for decades, especially in China, for hepatitis. And they found that it helps strengthen the liver even after being infected with hepatitis.
It's been around for a long time, Mike.
All right, great.
Thanks very much again. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're talking with Dr. Carolyn Dean. And we're carrying two of her books right now, Death by Medicine, or is it Organized Medicine?
By modern medicine.
And actually, there are even figures that are actually put out by certain of the medical organizations pointing out how many people die as a direct result of the medicines that they're taking, the medicines they're supposedly taking to get them feeling better. How many people do they feel that actually die every year from taking proprietary medicines?
108,000 every year. There was a study done in 1999, actually, up in University of Toronto, and they found 2.1 million people were affected by drug side effects, and 108,000 of those people died. And, maybe many more went on to become very ill and die afterward. And that was one of the studies that I had in my Death by Medicine paper. People can go to my website, carolyndean.com, and get more information. But Death by Medicine is available on the Internet. And I put together statistics from government databases and peer-reviewed journals and came up with 784,000 people dying annually prematurely due to modern medicine interventions, surgery, drugs, you name it.
And of course, we know that if you are foolish enough to do what you're told, and you're between 60 and 65, and you take an influenza shot, three or four times over a five-year period, your chance of getting Alzheimer's goes 1,000%. Now, why is that? Why? It's the aluminum in there, it's the mercury in there, and of course, whatever other things they put in to stimulate the immune response, and of course, they stimulate the immune response all over the body, including in the brain. And if you'd like, of course, to verify what we're telling you about this, why? You can go to Dr. Pudenberg's website. Dr. Pudenberg is the dean of vaccinologists, one of the three or four experts in our country. And if you can't find his website, you call us 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a copy of the abstract, just a little short paper republished on his website. And of course, immediately he is attacked and vilified and demonized and said he's getting senile. Anybody who tells you the truth about what they're doing to the health of our people is going to be demonized. And this is the great tragedy that is actually taking place today. So, again, certainly, let's get your website out there and how people can get in touch with you, Carolyn.
Yes, it's carolyndean.com, CarolynDean.com. And I have my 11 books on my website, and I do telephone wellness consulting and, you know, have some incredible people from all over the world that I help them get through their about the need of unnecessary medication. And what I find that most people don't understand is magnesium deficiency and overgrowth of yeast. And we can talk about that, I'm sure, another time.
Well, let's just talk about it right now. I haven't read, you sent me the book, and it's one of those books on the pile of things. Why don't you talk a little bit about it? This is candid bias, if you're speaking up, is it?
Yes, indeed. It's yeast that's caused in the intestines when you use antibiotics, eat too much sugar, or have a lot of stress. So yeast is a normal inhabitant, but it will get thrown out of balance if you do the things I just mentioned. And I take the histories of my patients, and I see from birth, you know, you have pneumonia as an infant, you get an antibiotic. Then you're tired and run down, and you start getting allergies. So you get cortisone-type drugs, and you get asthma, and you get more cortisone. You start getting ear infections, you get more antibiotics, and on it goes. And when you kill off the bacteria that you think are bad, you're also killing off good bacteria in the intestines. And then it throws the yeast into this overdrive because they overtake the vacuum that's created. But what they also do is they become tissue invasive. They invade the lining of the intestinal tract, cause leaky gut, and all the toxins from yeast, of which there are 180, and they include alcohols and aldehydes, those are absorbed into the body and cause symptoms like dizziness and brain, and also symptoms in the gut like IBS. And I mentioned the IBS for Dummies book that I wrote, and most of the people who have IBS have yeast overgrowth.
This is basically really comes on because of the overuse of antibiotics.
It is. It's true. It's the overuse of antibiotics, and also using caffeines and eating junk foods and aspartame and MSG and all the toxins that then irritate the GI tract. But it is mostly antibiotics, in my opinion. And even when you look at the pathology reports of Crohn's or colitis, there are sheets and sheets of yeast in these people's intestines.
And of course, the thing is that if you take these various the things that will bring the bacteria back into your intestine, what would that be? Would those
yes.
be yogurts, or what would they be?
Yes, a good plain organic yogurt will help, as will probiotics. They have various names, Lactobacillus acidophilus or Bifidus. And you go to your health food store and get a product that's in the refrigerator section, because these are live organisms. So
the bacteria in what you're doing is is getting the bacteria flora back into your intestine, isn't that right?
That's right. And in Europe, when people are given antibiotics, at least this is what it used to be, they're told to go and eat a lot of good homemade yogurt. But doctors, I don't know, it's like anathema to them to mention diet in any way. Or maybe it's that they don't think they have any more than a few seconds to deal with their patients, because they don't tell them anything about, you know, the probiotics or building up the good bacteria. In fact, you know, they tried to vilify Dr. William Crook for decades because of his work with the whole yeast overgrowth syndrome.
All right, fine. Now, is this more accepted today than it was in years past?
Well, in the sense that someone will go to a doctor and say they have a vaginal yeast, and then they may be given an antifungal like Diflucan, but they're given it for maybe a week and said, oh, that'll take care of it. Doctors do not yet recognize the intestinal overgrowth of yeast at all. They think patients that come in with a whole list of symptoms and bring a book in, like the book I wrote with Dr. Crook, The Yeast Connection in Women's Health, they just think it's a fad, and they won't treat patients. But what we find now with the yeast overgrowth is things like wild oregano oil can actually be as helpful as Diflucan. Diflucan is extremely expensive, so it's hard to take a long enough course of it to get rid of your yeast.
Of course, the whole oregano has been around for, you know, hundreds and probably thousands of years. It's just been a standard antibiotic. Now, I mean, we can't say it's an antibiotic. We can just say that it helps the body. The oil of oregano has certainly been known, since time immemorial to be useful as far as helping to fight infection.
Exactly. They're doing more and more studies. The various companies that make the wild oregano oil are finding that it kills most things in on a petri dish. Studies in people, and some people will use the colloidal silver to kill yeast. But the problem is that it's not just about killing yeast. I mean, that's definitely the conventional medicine way of looking at things. What people need to do is avoid sugar, wheat, and dairy, take probiotics, take a natural antifungal, and as well, you know, get some exercise and lead a healthy lifestyle. So it's not just about taking a drug to kill this off.
Well, I think all of this is good advice, and I think it's so important that people begin researching health and health matters. And I really think that we're moving into some very difficult times, and I think people are going to learn right now, or must learn right now, how to look after their own health. I know I try to get an appointment to see a dermatologist in the town I live in. You know, I got the appointment 2 months down the line. You go to the average emergency room, and it's going to take you 3, 4, 6, 8 hours in the evening to get in to see a doctor. I mean, our whole medical system is beginning to implode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tragic situation. At one time, we had the finest medicine anywhere in the world. And it has been progressively eroded. It's been eroded by government interference and by irresponsible actions of the Federal Drug Administration and the CDC and, of course, the National Institutes of Health, working in concert with the drug companies for the betterment not of the people, but of the stock prices and the bottom line. And really, I think it's so important that people understand that a lot of these medicines that are out there are simply me-too medicines. And, you know, they're not doing the research, coming up with new medicines that are really helpful. And many of the things, some of the new vaccines that are coming out, we do not know the long-term benefit. And they're simply experimenting on the American people. And certainly there's new cervical,
cervical cancer.
This thing, if you really look at it, it doesn't change the number of pap smears at all. And they tell us it's, and the pap smear is how you evaluate whether a woman has cancer or not. I mean, this is really another example of Merck's effort to get their stock price up. Well, Carolyn, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I'm in the middle of a thunderstorm here. I hope folks don't hear too much of the thunder. But it's kind of the situation that we're under. We're being bombarded with thunder and lightning with the amount of propaganda materials that we're faced with. And as you said, people have to understand what health is about, do some good reading about health matters and what you would do in a crisis, because when a crisis hits, and as you said, Dr. Stan, you have to spend 6-7 hours waiting for a doctor or a couple of months for a specialist appointment, and when you get that appointment, you'll get 5 minutes with a doctor and be given a list of drugs to take or be told you need surgery. You have to realize that, you know, these 5-minute appointments with a doctor are almost detrimental to your health, because they'll never know what's wrong with you in that short space of time. They'll make a quick assessment, make a quick diagnosis, give you a drug, and you're out the door.
It used to be, of course, if you went to an internist, they spent an hour with you.
Yes.
Try doing that today.
Yes.
And of course, the doctor has been put into this position because of government interference with the whole system and the destruction of our monetary system.
Mm-hmm.
The irresponsible malpractice suits, the bureaucracy,
yeah.
the papers that you have to fill out, somebody looking over your shoulder all the time. And I went to see one of my friends today, a woman I've known for many years, a very capable physician, and she said the fun's gone, and the fun, the challenge is there. And I assure you, many people feel that as well, but you really must understand that there are many, many of the things that we are being given in the way of medications that are actually harmful to our health.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and there, for every condition out there, there are natural options and choices. And that's all we're trying to say is do your research, do your reading, you know, find sensible people that you can work with. Naturopaths are often very sensible. They're not allowed to prescribe medicine, so they have to learn alternatives, and, you know, it's best that they stay away from drugs. And, you know, I offer my own website and my wellness consulting as well to help support people as they make the transition into a healthier life.
One more time, get your telephone number right, Carolyn.
My phone number is 718-885-1104, 718-885-1104, and I'm at carolyndean.com.
God bless. Thanks very much for being with us again.
Thanks, Dr.
Bye-bye.
Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and soon to be carry two of Carolyn's books. One is entitled Death by Modern Medicine, and the other is The Miracle of Magnesium. We recommend both of those books to you. We carry a book on statin drugs by Brian Ellison, just on statin drugs. We have a 4-tape set on statin drugs. You need to understand this scam. You need to understand about the vaccines. You need to get our 4-tape set on mercury. You need to get our 4-tape set on autism and see what they've done to our children. 1 in 6 American children has some sort of a neurodevelopmental abnormality. Is it one of your children, your grandchildren? And then, of course, you need to certainly get, if you have not yet read, Dr. Russell Blaylock's excellent book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. You need to get it. If you are living in an area with fluoridated water, you need to get, here in California, all you can get is the Berkey Light water filter, but they have special filters that will take the fluoride out. They're poisoning you. They're poisoning your children. And, of course, it decreases fertility. This is one of the big reasons they want it. That, and it has an effect on the mind, and which is why Adolf Hitler fluoridated the water in the occupied areas. Here in America, they fluoridate the areas, and they fluoridate the water in the areas where they want to control the people. If you have not yet seen my talk on the hidden agenda, the fluoride deception, you need to get it. And we have a syllabus that goes with that that has all the scientific studies. The scientific studies that show how this affects fertility and lowers the intellect and increases the incidence of cancer and softens the bones and attacks the endocrine system, attacks the heart. doubled the incidence of heart disease in Newburgh, New York, where they actually did the original studies that proved that water fluoridation was both safe and effective. If you have not yet read the book, The Fluoride Deception, you need to get that book. All of these things are available from Radio Liberty. And if you think this is just, scare talk, you get onto your computer and go to NTEU280.org, NTEU280.org. That stands for National Treasurer Employees Union 280. Those are the scientists and the engineers and the lawyers who work for the EPA, pleading with the EPA and the Senate to stop poisoning the American people. Now, if you can't get it off the computer, we do have that. I would have to charge you for it. But, you know, you could pull it down off the computer, NTEU280.org, get the material, understand they're poisoning your children. Who would do anything like that? Why, the same people who have killed 50 million children in America. They push abortion. Why? Because they hate children. If you understand that, why you understand so much of what's going on. If you have not yet seen my talk on planned population reduction, you need to get it. That's planned population reduction. You need to get my material, my video on, actually it's on population control, the 4-tape set on population control. Maybe you'd like to get my talks with Dr. Russell Blaylock, entitled Life-Saving Secrets. We actually have a 4-tape set on ascorbic acid, on vitamin C. What you need to know about vitamin C. You must be taking vitamin C supplements because you can't get enough in your diet. And I go to medical meetings and they say, you shouldn't be taking more than 75 or 95 milligrams a day. You should be taking, you know, several thousand milligrams a day. Why? Because we don't produce our vitamin C. Every other animal does. The hamster, the fruit bat, and humans are the only ones that do not produce vitamin C. Essential for our health and essential for healthy arteries. And it actually cuts back on the incidence of coronary artery disease. Is that why they're telling you not to take it? Is there really a population control agenda monograph? Have 100 million people been killed over the last 33 years since the United States banned the use of DDT in the United States and encouraged the ban throughout the rest of the world? Is that why some 60 million Americans have a sexually transmitted viral disease? Did that happen by accident? Wasn't that way when I practiced medicine? Pray for America. We're up against organized evil. Our number 1-800-544-8927.